and then start. There you go. So hello and welcome to our case study call for the month of, April 2017. And these are the calls where people submit cases in advance and we review them. And the idea with these particular calls is it's not just a quick question about, you know, Mary has this in her thyroid, says that, and what should I, you know, what should I do next? But it's more like, let's go through the case as if you're getting a case, because that's very good practice, right? We go step by step. And a lot of times, you know, we tend to like jump for shortcuts, right? Somebody starts coming in and the next thing you know, they're talking about their hot flashes and you're thinking, oh, what do I do for hot flashes? Right? But it's really not about what do I do for hot flashes. It's what do I do about the underlying imbalances that are causing the hot flashes, and how do I determine what the underlying imbalances are that are contributing to the hot flashes. So regardless of whether it's hot flashes or diarrhea or headaches or depression, it's the same underlying process to dig down, get to the root. So I like to do these cases just because, you know, unique cases come up. And I can't necessarily teach you in modules or whatever every possible iteration of every possible thing you might see. So when people bring cases, it creates an opportunity to stump me sometimes and get me thinking, we'll have to look up that mechanism. But it's always, you know, from my perspective, I'm looking at, okay, what could be causing that particular thing? Not like, oh, it's hot flashes. Oh, black cohosh, I've heard that's good for hot flashes. But what could be causing it? And so you piece the whole thing together and go from a biochemical standpoint, a physiologic standpoint, what are the underlying things that could be causing it? So today we had a couple of people put cases in. I don't see Violaine on. Because Violaine had done one, and then Jenny. So the notorious Jenny case.
I think Jenny Violaine
too.
Violaine was going to be coming in live. She's going to listen on the way. She had a class she was teaching, and so
okay.
She said,
so, well, to class. Jenny's, yeah. So Jenny has been on different calls and asking questions, so I kind of feel like I know this person a little bit, but we're going to do the official case. And I saw, now this may be just me, and I opened up all the things, but was it one case that you submitted, or was there a second one? Because there are two. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so which is your preference? Do you want to start with the one we've kind of looked at, or do you want to just go fresh and start with the other, because you maybe you have some ideas on the other one already?
For the one that we went through last week.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're good on that one, or there's still some questions, and, or do you want to go to the other one?
We can start with the one we actually talked about last week, because I know I don't have a ton of questions for that one because we kind of went over it quite a bit.
Okay.
The only question I have is that.
Okay. Hang on one second, because I want to do a share screen, because now I have the official thing up. And I think you said you had some genetics for that we didn't go over. I don't remember if that was the case. So Jenny entry, is this the one, the psychotherapist, or is, no, this is just the other one.
That's the new one, the psychotherapist.
Yeah, the high school career coordinator.
Yeah,
All right. So can I give everybody a little overview of this person to start, or I'll give from what I remember, and then you can fill in the blanks, and then we can go with whatever questions. So this was a kind of complicated case because she's 5'4", 180 pounds, so obviously she's overweight. And what she's complaining about are chronic fatigue, brain fog, low libido, hair loss, PTSD, and insomnia. Now, she's a counselor, so she would word it as PTSD. A lot of people don't self-diagnose as post-traumatic stress syndrome. They present with a set of symptoms, but somebody told her, or she figured out that she has PTSD.
She actually had some traumatic experience during her childhood. So she has been working with a psychotherapist for the past 4 years.
Great.
So she was kind of diagnosed.
And are you guys seeing my screen?
Yeah, you're
okay. You are okay. Good. I wanted to make sure I actually shared it. Because you know what? Is it? Let me just.
Are you? Do you have her labs up? Because all I see you.
No, I was sharing the screen. That's what I was asking, but it
nope,
didn't look.
Nope.
I didn't have the little halo around it, so I was curious. Here we go. Share screen now. As soon as I get it back up, now you should be seeing it. What do you think?
Well, I see your teamwork task.
I shouldn't see my teamwork task. All right, let me go back and unshare the screen. All right, share screen again, and it should be the entry. Here we go. No, this one. How about now?
Yes, I can see it. I can see it, yeah.
Yeah, you see it, Lynn?
Yep, yep. All right.
Okay, so like I said, 5'4", 180 pounds overweight. She had some childhood trauma. She's suffering from fatigue, brain fog, low libido, severe hair loss, and insomnia. And she had surgery to remove a kidney stone a while back. Do you know how long ago that was?
That was several years ago.
Several years ago? Okay. And so interventions that she's been dealing with to try to deal with this problem are she tried the Wilson's WT3 protocol. Those of you not familiar with that, that's a protocol for thyroid balance where you're just replacing T3, but you're doing it in a phased in, phased out, go up, go down approach, which is supposed to stimulate the body to start producing its thyroid hormone. And the Wilson's track record with it is that people go through this cycle and up and down, up and down, up and down for several months, and then that they don't no longer need any thyroid intervention. And there's certain conditions under which you can do that. So 3 years ago, she did this protocol. I think I asked you, you said quite a number of months she did it for.
Because tried it twice, and she said it didn't work for her both times.
When she said tried it twice, do you mean 1 month of it or like one, like, you know, 10-month cycle of it? Could be tried.
I would say she tried probably 1 to 2 months each time.
Okay. So here's the thing. You cannot discount it. If you do Wilson's right and it doesn't work after 2 months, that doesn't mean it's not going to work. He says on average it's 6 months, 6 to 7 months, and as high as 11 months.
Okay.
The people that I've worked with it on have actually, now I don't know if she's a good candidate because I don't have enough to go on right now, but the people that I've worked with it on, I've seen it take anywhere from 8 to 10 months.
Okay, so maybe she didn't try long enough.
Well, the practitioner she was working with, were they trained in it or did she try it on her own?
Well, it was that she kind of found the protocol by herself and then she
got the doc to do it.
A naturopath who gave her the testosterone injection. It's the same doctor. So she got with him and he prescribed the time release T3 for her.
Right. And did she do it the way the protocol lays out where she ramps it up and then comes back down?
She pretty much said her body just didn't respond much. And she claims to have low body temperature all the time. So the Wilson protocol didn't really raise her body temperature.
Right. But here's what I'm saying. Then this you're going to see a lot with people. They'll say, I tried this. It didn't work. Yeah, I tried gluten-free. It didn't work. So now I'm back on gluten. I tried, you know, an elimination diet, but it didn't work. You want to really dig with what that means. How long did they go for? What was their max that they got to? If you're not familiar with the protocol, it's hard to know. But I am familiar with the protocol and I am trained in the protocol. Mm-hmm. And it really, you know, it takes a while you ramp up, you get to the peak, you come back down, and then you do it again. You wait in between and then you do it again. And it's really not something that somebody should try on their own. They really should have someone guiding them who knows the protocol. So it, you know, this doc just prescribed but didn't know the protocol. It, you know, it may not be that the Wilson's protocol is not going to work for her. So I'm just,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree because I always suspected that she didn't do the protocol correctly because she was pretty much on her own.
Yeah, it's really a hard protocol to do on your own.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of doctors that they can, I don't know where she lives, but there's a lot of people who are trained in it.
Yeah, she's in Eugene.
Eugene. Oh, I bet there's some up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, she goes to the Wilson.
So right now she's on T3. She's on Cytomel.
Right, and that was on. Do you know what the dose is?
Hello, can you guys hear?
Yes. Jenny, can you hear? Hello? Did I fade out? Lynn, can you see me?
I hear you. Okay. You can probably hear my...
Yeah, Jenny, I'll mute you back again. Jenny? Well, it seems like we lost Jenny. So I'm going to go through and just kind of go through and give you guys an idea of what she's been working with, and then we can take it from there. But those of you who want to know more about Wilson's, in our thyroid module, we have it, which is going to be opening momentarily soon, within the next few days, as soon as I can get somebody to help me out with that. And then, in the Advanced Clinical Resources Library, we did an interview with Dr. Wilson, and you can learn more about it there. So 2 years ago, yeah, so this naturopath, this is the naturopath that I'm not real thrilled with, that Jenny keeps telling us about, that this naturopath has given her testosterone pellets, and he's extremely aggressive and not really, doesn't seem like he's looking for a root cause. So she started with this doctor, gave her testosterone injections once every 2 months, and she experienced more hair loss, over sex drive, and more aggression. To me, that immediately says she's converting that testosterone into dihydrotestosterone, DHT. DHT causes all that stuff, and the hair loss especially. So if ever you hear somebody who goes on testosterone and they start losing their hair, it's most likely that it's converting to the very dangerous form, which we need partly, but it's converting her to more DHT than she needs, causing her to lose that. The best way to look at this would be a Dutch test. The best way. In 2016, she tried high-dose WP thyroid for a couple of months, said it didn't bring improvement. Okay, so she's got a lot of stuff that she's tried. She's got this naturopath who, in my opinion, isn't being very naturopathic, let's just say. Jenny started working her just a couple of months ago. She's got her on a gluten-free, dairy-free, alcohol. First of all, right, that she's been working with this naturopath for 2 years, complaining of all the things she's complaining about, and Jenny had to be the one that got her to go off gluten. This naturopath should have been doing that from the start, and the alcohol as well. So it sounded like an allopathic naturopath, is my opinion. Use the naturopathic tools, but with an allopathic mentality, meaning just, you know, work on symptoms. And I know I may be being cruel to this and overly critical, but this is not the way I want you guys to be practicing. I want you guys to be learning to look for root cause. Started taking supplements, so all of this stuff I would have expected if she was really working on this for 2 years with a naturopath, that this stuff should have been handled. She's got a lot of stress, 9 to 10 work stuff. She stopped doing it, it looks like after the last one, but the last injection was 2016. So this doc didn't pick up on any of that. So here's her nutrients. So she's taking Colon Max for constipation. Well, why is she constipated? Good possibility, this thyroid issue, right? Magnesium, lipoic acid. She's taking a whole bunch of stuff here, which you can read on the screen. A lot of different things. But it looks like it's a little bit hit or miss. Dietary habits, exposures. Okay, so normal TSH. I want to know what that is. So hopefully we have that in the tracker. I'm going to look at that in a minute. When somebody says they have normal TSH, that could be that they have 4.5. It comes out to be in the normal range, and that's not ideal, right? High reverse T3, 23.5, normal insulin, but high leptin. Again, I want to look at the numbers. She exercises, she goes out in the sun, not a lot, once a week, doesn't meditate. So she doesn't have any habits. So, you know, the first thing I'd be working with this person on is getting her sleeping and de-stressing, you know, doing some heart math, doing some meditation, getting her moving a little bit, because you can't just add a bunch of supplements and bioidentical hormones to someone if they don't have the habits in place. So I know Jenny knows all that, and she'll work.
Well, she has been sleeping a lot better than before.
She is? Okay, that's great.
Yeah, so she has been trying to add some exercise.
Yeah, and it's hard when you're exhausted to add exercise, right, even if right. You just get her a little bit. Teaching her, getting her into something she's going to actually do for stress management. The stress is high out there, but she's got to learn to manage it in here, whether it be yoga, meditation, tapping, heart math. Heart math might be great, or the mini meditations with the muse where she can just do it for 5 minutes here and there can be very helpful.
Can I add something?
Sure.
So I have a couple of people that are like this where, they'll kind of, like you said, hit and miss. So one of the things that I've been doing that so far is working, we've only done it for about 3 weeks, but, just have them create a calendar or sometime, you know, however they do it. These people do, Google Calendar, and, they just block off different times. Mm-hmm. And then every week I have them, you know, I've got access to it so I can check it and see whether or not they're actually doing it. Because like you said, it's hit and miss. Mm-hmm. So the issue becomes, how can we help them to do it?
Yeah.
And then, like you also said, just do a few simple things.
Right.
So that's just my thought.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
That's a great thing. Because people do need accountability. And I don't know about everybody, but for me, if I commit to something to somebody, I'm going to do it. So, you know, my push-ups for my birthday, for example, I did it last year and people kept saying, are you going to do it again? And then somebody wrote me a happy birthday and did you do your 61 push-ups yet? And I hadn't. So I had to go up and do them before I responded to her. So I could say, yes, I did. But
most of these people aren't like this. That's why they're with us. This is where that comes.
Right. But the accountability piece is right. Like doing that, having a calendar with it. Now you're going to look and you're going to say, hey, how can I help you support this? Looks like you could fit in your exercise over here at 4:30 on, you know, Wednesday afternoon, or you can do a little meditation here or there, and just really helping them to manage it, because she's very busy. She's overwhelmed, and that's the big piece that's hurting her as well. So the reason that she isn't able to do the things you want her to do necessarily is the same reason that's causing her to be out of balance. So it's a really big deal. So her leptin,
pretty high.
Is pretty high. You know, it's not terrible, but it's outside the range. You know, it's like 25% above the normal range. And leptin, high leptin means leptin resistance, right? So she's got an extra 50 pounds on her that, could be dealt with this. So leptin resistance goes along with insulin resistance and also with the, you know, that whole backup. We talked last time about you getting her to do some, blood sugar testing. Cause my guess is that she's probably got.
Yeah. Well, she takes the supplement called glucose balance PX. I think it's because of that. That's why her blood sugar doesn't look too bad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But her hemoglobin A1C, did you get that? I'm opening it up now. I'm opening up her. I'm looking up. I have to open in a different screen because it's an Excel sheet. Mm-hmm. Me, so I have to open a different screen. So I have to computer, and I will find it. Dropbox. There we go. Jenny. Here we go. And it's okay. Now I'm going to do this. Stop share or change share, new share, and I'm going to do the Excel sheet. All right. So can you guys see the Excel sheet now?
No. Oh, there you go. Yes.
Got it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So somebody's got.
Oh, this is the new one. This is the new case.
This is the new case. Second person, what happened to the other case? Oh, did you not have one for the other case?
I did. I actually submitted it.
Okay, let me go back to the, I only saw that one in here. Maybe I put it in the wrong place. Somebody mute yourself if you're not, check to make sure you're muted if you're, cause there's a lot of movement, like scratching on the desk or something. Jenny, I don't know who it is. Lynn, can you check and mute whoever is?
That's the second case.
I don't have those powers here. So I'd say Sophie, Lynette, or V-Lane.
Okay. Hello?
Hey, hi. Could you mute your microphone?
Okay, let me see.
It's on the bottom of the screen, towards the bottom left. You click on the little microphone.
All right, so I don't see that one. Let me go back to the original where it was posted. Here are the documents. So, no, that's that one. It just doesn't have it. Yeah, I only have the one. Let me look back at the very original in my inbox and see. Jenny, is this the 58-year-old?
This is the second case.
Psychotherapist? No, that's...
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Jenny. I'm sorry, it's not shown up. I'm going to go into mock forms.
Do you want me to email you right now?
Yeah, just email it to me if I can get it from mock forms quicker. But the other one was there. Sometimes it doesn't go through to email, and then maybe when Lynn was downloading it, she didn't see it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We have to get a good process in place for this case stuff because this drives me nuts. All right, let me find this. My services. This is what I tried to avoid by opening it up all in advance, and apparently didn't work this time either.
So should I send it to Dr. Rita Marie Lascazo?
No. That'll take 5 years to get to me. No, I don't see those. That's help desk. That goes to help desk. Send it to INE at dremarie.com. INE.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll get to me.
All right, I just sent it.
You did? Okay, good. I'll get that. Let me see. Okay. Get messages. It takes a couple minutes. And you just attached it to the case?
Yeah, to the email. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry. The other one must be filed somewhere. Jenny, I'll type your name in here and see. Nope.
No.
It's weird. All right. Still not there.
Maybe it's in the incident program. Well, that's when we first reviewed the case.
Okay, there it goes. I don't know what happened. So sorry. I don't know. We'll work on this back end here. Okay. Is it open yet? Okay, I'm going to save it to your folder so I can go back to it later if I need to. I have Jenny.
It's on the top. More on the top.
Oh. Are you seeing it?
I see my name kind of a little bit higher than this desktop folder.
Why is it not? Oh. There it is. Okay. Excel. Okay. It should open now. All right. Do you see it now? No? No, it's still the old one. The other one. The new kid. All right. There we go. All right. So 117. I'm just going to do a quick, I'm going to shorten this down a little bit so I can. Sorry. There we go. With the Zoom puts all these different things. So her, go all the way to the top. And her glucose shows up fine as 86, uric acid, all these things look fine. Potassium's a little bit low. Oftentimes that's adrenal fatigue. Carbon dioxide's low. That's more of an acidity problem. Protein's low, could be an issue with stomach acid and absorption. alkaline phosphatase is low. So that's oftentimes zinc. So I'd be looking at her zinc status. Zinc, low zinc goes along well with low stomach acid. So that's yet another thing that would say, hey, this person's probably not absorbing real well, like you said earlier. She's got slightly elevated ALT. ALT can be liver. It can also be related to gallbladder. It can also be related to, that's alanine aminotransferase. It can also be related to alcohol, because you said she was just drinking a lot of alcohol.
She used to, yeah.
Okay.
After we started working together, she quit. But again, I'm not sure whether she's totally quit, because I just know sometimes when she's stressed out, she goes for alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so the alcohol is stressing her liver, so you can refresh her on that. It seemed to me interesting that when she came to you after working with this naturopath for 2 years, she was still doing gluten and dairy and alcohol. So, you know, he was clearly not addressing her from a root cause perspective. If we look at her previous, wow, if we look at her cholesterol, holy cow, her lipids are way off. Right? Her lipids are way, way off. High triglycerides, high cholesterol. So even if that glucose number is looking good fasting, it doesn't mean anything, right? And thyroid, low thyroid can contribute to high cholesterol. Of course, she could have a familial hypercholesterolemia that, you know, is very non-responsive, but, her HDLs are pretty good, even though she doesn't exercise. That's kind of interesting. And her triglyceride HDL ratio is high, which is suggestive that there is some insulin resistance. So the combination of high leptin and high triglyceride HDL, we're still familiar, we're still, you know, dealing with that. The TSH is fine. It is actually fine. I need to update that level. The more recent research shows that between 1 and 2 is actually fine. Her free T4 is low, which, a couple of things could be contributing to that is that she has too much estrogen, which from progesterone pellets, in addition to the progesterone or injections, and the progesterone being converted to DHT, which could be causing the hair loss and the other things that we talked about before, is that she could have an aromatase issue, and she's converting a lot of the testosterone to estrogen. And that happens a lot. So I would say this person needs it. You need to do a Dutch test on her or something where it's a comprehensive hormone panel with metabolites to figure this out. But this suggests that her estrogen is high with the free T4. We don't know what her total T4 is, so it's hard to know. If we're going to do a complete panel, I think all complete panels should give us the total T4 because that tells us what the thyroid's actually doing and is capable of doing. A lot of people skip that. They just want the downstream metabolites. But if you have downstream metabolites without upstream metabolites, you don't know what's happening functionally. And we're about doing a functional approach as opposed to just looking at things in a static way and looking for deficiencies that way. So her, you know, if you do the ratio, I think we did this last time, the ratio of the free T3, did we do that with the... Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember what it came out to be? I think it came out to be right around.
Let me see.
See what that ratio is. And her antibodies are, you know, we don't know if they're non-existent, but they're low because the lab doesn't do the really fine look at, you know, is it 1 or is it under 10, meaning it's 9? And most labs take thyroglobulin as under 1 being normal. So. Yeah. So do that ratio. You know where to go.
Ratio is 16%.
16. So, okay. So even though her free T3 is in a good level, it's because she's taking it. She's still converting a lot to reverse T3. So my guess is that she's making a decent amount because her TSH is here and her reverse T3 is hefty. But she's converting a lot of that T4 that she's making into the reverse T3, which is why she needs the supplementation of the free T3. Was this before?
Can I add something? So when lab was done, she was not on T3 medication.
She wasn't.
She wasn't, yeah.
Then why would he put her on T3 at this point?
Because, you know, I just thought it might be able to help her with the leptin reduction and insulin reduction and also to lower the reverse T3. A little bit. They're the lowest dose. She's on the lowest dose.
Like what? 15 micrograms or?
Five.
Okay. Yeah, five isn't going to do much of anything. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I probably don't think it's necessary. I'd love to see what her total T4 is so we see it. But this was before she started taking it?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I just feel like she has the tissue level hypothyroid.
For some reason, yeah.
She's not getting inside of her cells.
Well, that's the resistance, and that's going to come from obesity. It's going to come from inflammation. It's going to come from the stress level that she has. It could come from a vitamin A deficiency, could come from elevated homocysteine. There's a lot of reasons that could cause that tissue response. Interesting, they didn't even do a CBC. Very interesting. That's usually there. Homocysteine is 8.2, so it's not ridiculously high. I'd rather see it under 6. So it's getting towards a warning. Her C-reactive protein is good. Her iron saturation's fine. Her total iron binding capacity is high. Let's see what her iron is.
Her iron is actually normal. Is it 99?
There we go, iron 99, yeah. So she's got a lot of, she's got a lot of those iron, carriers, the binding globulins. Mm-hmm. Similar to, I would suspect she has a lot of the, but I don't know for sure because I don't have a total T4. But given her total T4 is, her free T4 is low, this is a confusing case. In terms of just looking, so her ferritin is on the lower side. Her iron is decent. Her total iron binding capacity, I think there's probably some liver sluggishness. Vitamin D needs to be elevated, so you need to up her levels of vitamin D.
Yeah, we have. So the iron thing is very confusing to me.
Yeah.
Not just for this case, because I have some other client, maybe the second case you will see, they have high ferritin but low iron.
Yep, we've seen that.
So what does that imply, actually?
Yeah, so I haven't really been able to, I would say something going on with the liver, not being able to, you said high ferritin, low iron, so they would not be able to mobilize the stored iron. And I've been researching this for a while, not like exhaustively, like hours and hours at a time, but whenever I get some free time, I'm looking into it. I know that when the iron is high and the ferritin is low, we oftentimes see problems with melatonin. And it turns out that melatonin is required for one of the steps to convert the iron into a form that can be stored. But I haven't found anything in the other direction other than just general inflammation or liver stuff. Okay.
Well, my husband is low in ferritin but high in iron.
Well, he may have, does he have problems with sleeping?
Yes.
Yeah. So it may be a melatonin. I would check melatonin levels.
Yeah. He definitely takes melatonin. Maybe not enough.
Yeah. But I think, you know, this person, I think testosterone pellets are not a good, testosterone injections, not a good idea. I would get a Dutch test on this person.
Yeah.
To see what's really going on.
Yeah. Actually, that was discussed with her about a month ago. I think she's a little tired of doing all the tests.
Tired of testing. But tell her, look, you're probably tired of being sick too and being tired. So let's just get some real answers. I don't like to criticize other practitioners, and maybe he has his own reasons, but I'm not really impressed with how he handles this situation.
Oh, I'm not either. Yeah.
You know, I think it's overly aggressive, and it's just overly like, it's like shooting the darts in the dark concept. Like, psh, let's see if that works. Psh, yeah. Let's see if that works. You know, I think she needs a comprehensive plan. I would look at, you don't have her hemoglobin A1C in here. I don't see it.
They didn't. Her doctor did not get it tested. Yeah. I recommended it, but for some reason.
If you can get her to go to the Walgreens or whatever, she can buy a kit and try it there. Mm-hmm. But I think that getting her to test her glucose levels, keeping her on the low glycemic diet, or getting her on a low glycemic diet, alcohol is very high glycemic, right? Mm-hmm. alcohol will affect this. And trying to get those leptin levels down so that she can, and the spacing of the meals, right? 6 hours between meals, skipping the carbohydrates in the morning makes a huge difference for leptin.
Okay.
You know, bedtime, like all the stuff that we teach in the insulin resistance protocols are super important. Part of that is leptin.
Okay, so the leptin, it's beyond the diet part. Can she take anything to lower that?
You know, there's a couple of things. There's some studies on mango seed extract.
I told her to order it because you mentioned about it.
I mentioned that before. And then there was the other one was there's a homeopathic. If you look up homeopathic, and I don't know how it works. I met these guys at a conference and it was like, oh, homeopathic leptin. It's supposed to bring the leptin level and affect leptin resistance, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
But the stress is huge. You know, we can look for all these great solutions with hormones and herbs, but if she doesn't address the stress piece, it's not going to get better.
Yeah.
You know that.
Well, every time when I, yes, absolutely. Every time when I ask her about the stress management, she kind of gets irritated.
Yeah, well, because she's stressed. That's a hypervigilant person who's overstressed, right?
And she doesn't want to talk about it. She would say, oh, you know, just by you asking me this makes me stressed out. So I'm kind of at a point where I can't even ask because she just gets very irritated about it.
Yeah, and without addressing it, she's not going to really get results.
Yeah, I did say that to her.
I think it's just an issue of, I would just call her on it. I said, you know, every time I mention the stress, you get irritated. Tell me what's really you feeling with that.
Yeah. Well, she's very aggressive. You know, you can tell, just kind of an angry person, pretty angry person.
Yeah. Do you have a adrenal test on her?
No.
Well, you'll see it when you get the Dutch done.
Yeah, I think.
You know, I think that the Dutch is the best bet for her for moving forward and tell her, look, I know that the stress is important. Let's see how it's affecting you. Let's see what, there's nothing I can, you know, really share with you. You're taking a whole bunch of different herbs. It's obviously, you know, not doing what it needs to do. Let's get the big picture here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the T3 medication.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not worth to even keep that.
You know, if that test level, I would get another test level done then since she's been on it to see, because you don't want her to get into the point where she's over medicated.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I mean, but at 0.5, at 5 micrograms, I think it's just such a tiny dose. That's, Wilson's protocol.
Dark
7.5.
It's 5 micrograms.
Yeah, 7.5 is where Wilson starts.
Okay.
And you don't see much change until you get higher. So I wouldn't be addressing that yet. I would be looking at the stress piece, because the stress piece is going to affect the receptors. It's going to affect the conversion, that iodinase enzyme, right? 5 prime versus 5. Mm-hmm. That's what I would do with this one.
So she does the biofeedback. So.
Oh, well, that's good.
Do you believe that? I'm kind of curious about that.
Depends on how she's doing it. I mean, if she's doing biofeedback to give her feedback as to when she's in a stressed out state.
Yeah.
And well, she learns the techniques for shifting, right? You can't just say, oh yeah, there I am, stressed out again.
Right.
You have to use it.
She asked me, because she put the Cytomel on the machine, the scanning machine.
Oh, that thing, that way to do it. Yeah.
So, and then she said it actually, the Graves' disease showed up on the screen. And I was like, oh, maybe you don't even need the T3 medication.
If Graves' disease showed up when she put T3 on there, that to me says she's pushing, that would push her into Graves' disease, so to speak.
Yeah. Let her stop taking just to tell her.
I would just, that's not something I would be taking if I were her.
Okay.
Yeah, if this was totally unmedicated, the 1117, really the big thing is she's probably, and she hadn't been on the testosterone for several months. I'm guessing. All I can do is guess at this point. Let's get a Dutch test and see what she's got going. Okay?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Mm-hmm. Super. So let's switch to V-Elaine. Let me just do, I'm going to go back to that other share window. And then we'll look at V-Elaine's case, and then we'll see about your other case if there's time after that. Okay?
Sure. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, so there's the leptin. I'll close that one. This is her. Okay, I'll close that one. This one is Jenny's other one. I'll leave that open. And this is V-Elaine's, right? Is this yours, V-Elaine?
Hello, Dr. Rita Maria. I don't see
Jenny's name. On the car. Yeah, okay, yeah, it is. I have your name here. So tell us a little bit about this person that you submitted for.
Okay, so I just met with her 2 weeks ago. So this is pretty much the intake that I have. Okay. Been able to collect. So I put everything here.
So we'll just just tell us your impression so far.
So she's overweight. She went to see an endocrinologist because she just menopaused mm-hmm. 7 months ago. So she had a rough menopause, transition, and she gained a lot of weight, and she was tired. I mean, she had a rough one. She had like symptoms like hot flashes and weight, but really the weight. And then she has arthritis. She has bad knees. She's had surgery of the meniscus. And it's not healing very well, but she's so overweight that, you know. Her diet, when I saw her diet, I think it's very inflammatory, pro-inflammatory. So we definitely need to work on the diet. And I haven't done much with her yet, but I talked about the gluten when we first at the first meeting, and she said yes, she's aware of the gluten and she's trying to get off of it, but she's not clean. And I talked about the dairy because of the inflammation.
Yep.
And I have to work on that. She's not dairy free, she's not clean gluten free. You'll see her diet. I mean, it's a disaster. She's taking way too much meat and dairy protein, not enough green at all. So she's trying to exercise, and when she does exercise, she hurts herself.
Yeah.
She says the complaint with fatigue.
Okay. I can go through the rest.
Fatigue. So she went to see this endocrinologist, who's the sexual medicine specialist.
Yeah.
And I asked or about the testing, and she didn't give me much. All I have is what I put in here.
Okay.
She gave me steroid results. She gave me the hormone that he put her on and her hormones results. She's also on statin.
Okay. How long has she been she been on those?
On statin?
How long for the statins? Is that new or is that something she's been on for a while?
I think it's something she's been on for a while.
Okay.
The hormone replacement is very new. It's like 3 weeks starting. She's been there on for a while.
And I'm going to stop you there because I've got enough from you and I've got it here. I just wanted a little background because I want to make sure that we honor the time. But I think that in looking at her prescription here, she's recently been put on this. She's just been put on an estradiol patch. And in my opinion, I don't know, Allison can chime in here if she wants to, but I don't think people should be put on estradiol unless they're put on estriol as well. And according to Dr. Jonathan Wright, he says we should be doing 80 to 90% estriol and then the rest of it, the estradiol, but it'll vary based on the person's findings. But estradiol is proliferative. Estriol is protective. And you know, without looking at the metabolites, you don't know where it's at. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a big fan of that. The testosterone.
Rita Marie?
Yes.
I didn't want to interrupt you. We still see the health tracker.
What? That's what we're looking at.
The
health, oh, you see her, the other health tracker. That's
weird. Yeah.
I told it to change to this. But now.
This master tracker, Rulina Miller. Nope. Now we see. Yeah. I think this must be it. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. That now that's, there we go. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So just in general, it looks like she's very overweight, 5'9", 265 pounds. Do you know how much she gained over the last, whenever since she started menopause, or was she always overweight and she just gained even more?
She's always been kind of in the heavier side, but she's telling me that she's gained more around the belly okay. through this menopause, that she's really stuck to her.
Okay. So it looks like,
she's been like on the heavier side, not super okay. thin. She has yeah. a strong constitution.
Like being 165 to 265 on menopause, she's, and even 165 would be too high. Okay. So let's just go through, as far as surgeries, she's got some low, it doesn't look, she has any major surgeries. She's got some weakness in her muscles. Just being that much overweight can really put person into an inflammatory state. Let's see. So she's fatigued, the high cholesterol. Okay, reflux. When somebody says to me, I get reflux with fried foods and orange juice, what do I say? Don't eat fried foods and drink orange juice. They're just creating problems, So if there's no other foods that she gets reflux with, she probably doesn't have any major reflux problem. It's just these foods are aggravating her and she should quit. But we can, weight pushing up against the sphincter, but obesity, IBS. So she has IBS, sleep problems, smoke addiction. What does that mean? She a cigarette smoker?
That was in the history with the family history that she put that. So I put that in because she says she smokes pot. Like not a lot, but she says she smokes pot maybe a couple of times a week to relax.
Okay. So smoking pot a couple of times a week to relax, I have no problem with. Smoking cigarettes, I have a problem with. And that may sound kind of weird to say because one's legal and one's not. But, some people do that. They can't get to sleep. They have a little couple of tokes. There's not that addiction that's, aggravating their lungs and creating havoc, especially as a person who's on statins, right? Cigarettes, all that stuff just damages the lining. So she needs to find some other way because that's not a good way. Okay. So that's something to talk to her. That's gonna put everything into havoc. Okay, so she takes aspirin for pain. Okay, so that's something to watch for with the gut because it can aggravate the lining of the gut. Okay, so on the medication, her cholesterol is 217, triglycerides 161. Is that
yes?
Yeah. So she's got a serious problem with her lipid management. Okay. And if you look, triglycerides, 161, HDL 58. So that's the HDL, triglyceride HDL ratio. So blood sugar is super important. And whenever you see somebody who's on statins, who's on cholesterol medication, you've got to get the blood sugar managed. Because if their blood sugar isn't managed, they're going to have continuous damage to those vessel linings because of the impact of insulin on that. So that's something to look at. Right from the start. Yes, anti-inflammatory diet. Those are your basics and you started in the right place. Get her on an anti-inflammatory diet. I'd give her that acid alkaline food chart and say, look, eat 80% from the alkaline side and 20% from the acid side. And that alone I've seen to reduce pain and inflammation dramatically just within a few days. And it's easy enough. You don't have to fine tune it so much. She's struggling with the gluten and the dairy. At least get her to focus on 80% of her food from the alkaline side. And that can be a big stepping stone starter step for her. Like I said, I don't, these amounts of, Okay, so this is, what they tested her for. Total was 19. Free was 2.7 and, dihydro was 3.5. And I don't know the ranges, so I don't know how to interpret those numbers without having that in a chart.
Yeah, that was the result. That was a result that tested down.
Yeah, so I'd want to look at is the DHT high compared to the total and the free. And I don't, like I said, I don't have those numbers memorized, so it's hard to say, but they put her on 20 milligrams of the cream. You got to be careful because if they have, a problem with an aromatase problem, they're too much aromatase, they're going to convert a lot of that testosterone to estrogen as well. So that's why I don't like just supplementing this stuff in the dark without a complete, like, comprehensive look at all the metabolites. And I never like to have them go on estradiol. Good thing they did put her on progesterone, because that's a lot of docs will put them on unopposed estrogen, just estradiol, no progesterone, no estriol. And I just think that that's a prescription for disaster. Seriously. Her FSH, yeah, so FSH and LH are high, which says, basically it says she's in menopause. So we didn't need a test to tell us that. So she's on Armour, 15 milligrams. Her TSH, and this was, she'd been on that for a while, or is this a new piece?
No, just put her on because of those results, the endocrinologist that she's seeing.
Put her on this the thyroid as a result of, so she hasn't been on.
Yeah, there on the 217, her TSH was 3.47, and then T4098. Those are her latest results, and from there he put her on 15 milligram when he did all these hormones. That's what he did.
Okay. I'm always wanting to know what people's thought processes are. I'm always ready to share mine. So as of 10/6, her total T4 was 6.6, which is on the lower side. Her free T4 was 1.2. Her TSH was 0.6, so it's a little high. Her T3 was 109. Her free T3 was, free T4 is low. Wait, there's two different numbers. Thyroxine free is 0.93, but free T4, you said? Is it, you sure this one isn't T3? Cause free thyroxine and free T4 are the same thing, but you've got two different numbers there.
I know, I double checked that, and that's what was on the lab that she gave me. But,
yeah.
You said that.
Scan it and let me see, because that doesn't, maybe it's free thyroxine index.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me, but it's exact. I triple checked because I'm like, what is that little FT4? I was not sure what it was.
And you're sure that this other one wasn't free T3? The one up here? Or it was a different thing?
So I'll check. The 1.2?
Yeah, the 1.2.
The 1.2, I will check. But I don't
check
think
on
so,
that one. They're both, they should be indicated. Like the one up here, you have free T4 is 0.98 on 217. It's a little bit lower than 0.93. It's a lot lower than 1.2. So different, big difference. You could have, so 6.6 is low. So it's kind of fairly low thyroid output. But we don't have a free T3 to know. If this indeed is free T3, then she's extremely low and she's got conversion issue. So find that out and we'll do that another time. But looking at this, you know, Armour might be a good place to go, but it's not going to address a conversion issue if she has one, but we don't know if she does. But estrogen, you do have to be careful. If you see their free numbers going down, what you're going to think about with estrogen supplementation is estrogen supplementation increases thyroid binding globulin. So you're going to have more bound hormone and less free hormone. So these are all the things, you know, it's not like you just give them hormones. The body usually makes them. There's a lot of interconnections between all these things that are super important for you to be looking at. And again, of course, stress is going to affect the conversion from T4 to T3, which we don't know what it is because we don't have that number. And the, well, we do have the T3. I don't remember what the range of total T3 is because I don't look at it all that much. I usually look at the ratio between the total and the free. So we've got to look at that in a more comprehensive way, but you've got to think about what are the impacts of giving testosterone? What are the impacts, potential impacts of giving estrogen and not doing it in a balanced way? So that's where I would be from. But clearly this person is actually a really easy case, Elaine, because her diet sucks, right? Her diet sucks. So you can get major changes if you can get her cooperation. So your big thing is working with her on attitude. I would highly recommend that you go back and watch Tony's presentation from, that was a bonus for CMDS.
As I looked at it, I went straight to it.
That's stuff, right? Because this person, if she does what you know to get her to do, you're going to have some good results, I believe. I'm concerned about that. I would get her on lots of brassicas to help make sure she's converting those estrogens into a safe place. Make sense?
Yeah, and it's not in her diet. I didn't see that meat.
I mean, if she's alone, get her to take some broccoli sprout powder as a starting point. If she's not into changing the diet so much, get her on a shake that's got the super stuff in it. You know, get her to make a dressing that has some of these things in it. So I would definitely get her on some more of that. Is she okay about taking supplements?
I think so. I mean, she's with the doctor. I have to see because I'm at the beginning, I thought it was great that she was seeing the doctor. And then I looked into him and it looks like he does symptom reduction and I don't see much help. So I asked her about the vitamin D because I didn't have anything. I'm like, oh, is your vitamin D? And she then she got back to me. She said it was low, so he's ordering a strong vitamin D. I don't have everything, so I have to.
Yeah, and that always is, that's going to be the case, right? Because we work with people and they're going, what prompted her to come to you in addition to seeing the doctor about all this?
Well, she needs to lose the weight. She needs to change her diet. She's aware that her diet is not so good.
Listen to what you just said. She wants to lose the weight. So she's going to be more motivated when you talk about the things you want her to do in relation to the excess fat. So if you're talking about, you know, getting rid of sugars, she knows about sugars aren't good for her, but she probably does it anyway. So if you explain to her how the sugars can, you know, create this insulin problem and that's going to cause the storage of belly fat and that's common for it to happen at menopause for it to get worse because of the hormone imbalances. You know, you explain some of these things, explain the gluten from the standpoint of the weight. That's going to get you a little bit further along. But also, I mean, this is a serious, cardiac risk, right? And they think that just because they're on these statins that they're safe. But in reality, they're not, right? And I don't see C-reactive protein in here either to see where that's at. I don't see any of the low, the smaller particle sizes, which are more dangerous, the VLDLs and such. But she really clearly needs to change things. The reason I asked if she's been on the statin for a long time versus a short time is CoQ10 depletion. CoQ10 is an important enzyme in the body for energy metabolism, very important in Krebs cycle metabolism. So if she's been on it for a while, see if you can get her on a CoQ10 supplement while you're working on the rest of this. If she just started it, it's as important, but I think it's very important typically. So her diet habits are gluten-free toast, ham, sausages, fake cheese, what is that? Meat, coffee, fresh OJ. Raviola regatta on salad, eggs, a Trader Joe's cold pressed green juice. Oh, good. She's got some green juice in there. Chia pudding, Strapot has sugar. Yeah, they all have sugar. I've checked. There is actually one brand I saw that didn't have sugar and it had stevia. Seed crackers, probably like Mary's crackers or something. Oats, cookies that husband made at home.
This is from her 3-day intake, and I think she put herself on a diet, and she said she lost weight from that.
low carb. It's not as high carb as I would have expected her if she was a standard kind of eater.
She said she craves protein.
Well, low stomach acid, you know, she could have low stomach acid. Yeah. So you wrote that in there. Diet seems high in animal protein, not enough green leafy vegetables. Yeah. So, you know, just work with her where you can, you know, how to do the diet stuff and work with her with the diet. Supplementation wise, I'd be definitely looking at, CoQ10 for sure, vitamin D for sure. And if, you know, if you can ever get her to poke her finger and test her sugar, otherwise you might just look her at, you know, some kind of glucobalance type supplement, whether it's the one from Restorative, their glucobalance, or the one from, Pure Encapsulations, I forget the exact name of it, but maybe just get her on something that's easy to get her started. At least she'll start to get, she may get the cravings down. If she's craving protein, it's probably because she's not absorbing it real well.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
So but she needs anti-inflammatory, that low alkaline or high alkaline diet, low acid diet as a starting point. Just see what little things you can get her to do that's going to get her a big response. And sometimes.
Yeah, and I have to drink water. She says she doesn't drink water. She finds it very hard. And she's like, oh, we are chemos in my family. We don't. So I'm walking in the water. She's trying. Though.
Basics. Water. And if you can get her to drink a green drink, if she won't, you know, make a smoothie or just she drank the juice. She's drinking the juice from Trader Joe's. You know, make sure it's not, some of those juices have apple and carrot in them, right? So make sure that she finds one that's really pure or that she's, if she can do a powder with a protein powder, you know, that to stave off some of those cravings. So she exercises a little bit. She gets outdoors. She gets in the sun. She doesn't relax or meditate. So, of course, that's the core of everything. Get it? You know that. You're a yoga teacher.
Yeah, the yoga. Talk on that. I got a little portion prepared for her. Yeah, I'm going to walk on the relaxation.
Yeah. You know, and get her off the sugar and the eating out. Yeah. So those are the things I would be looking at right now because she's got the doctor intervention with all the medications you want to, you know, and if she can get her on something, you know, if she can get her to ask the doctor if he can put her on some estriol in addition to that to keep it safer, or at least they do sell over-the-counter estriol cream and patches and suppositories.
Yeah, I can
address
that.
Check with her doctor before.
I told her to check everything with them because, you know, he's got the priority right now. So.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, it is pot that she smokes twice a week to relax, not cigarettes. Okay.
Well, I think she smokes cigarettes. No.
Get her to stop the cigarettes.
How does? She's still having bronchitis. She says she's still like kind of, she has asthma. She still has to be careful with her lungs, I think.
Super careful, yeah.
It's still smoke, even though. But, yes, you know, if it's just that, we'll address it if we need to, but I'm not going to bother her with it now.
I think this is a case where you just have to go with her at her own pace. You have to negotiate with her on the changes. And I think it's not a real complex case from the standpoint of look at all the great stuff she's doing and she's still not feeling well. I think you just need to focus a lot on those foundations. That's what she came to you for in the first place. But I really look into the estriol because that bothers me that she has that. That without.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Great. I'm glad you caught that. That's a good, good one.
Yeah. And okay. The CoQ10 and a blood sugar balancing supplement and D. If you can get her on those things, I think that's a good starting point. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Have a nice day.
I will. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So we had one more from Jenny. Let me see. Oops, if I could switch it. Oh, is this the first one, right, Jenny?
This is.
Because it has her leptin and her reverse T3. Or just the other one.
The first person.
Mm-hmm. This is the first person, the one we already talked about. Okay. I'll get rid of that one.
The second person, there's also a health tracker.
Is this the second one? Yeah, 5'7", 226.
Yeah,
Yeah. Okay. And I also have her health tracker open as well. So she's, you know, very overweight, 5'7", 226, psychotherapist. So she's got inflammation, obesity, chronic fatigue, low body temperature, 96. So you have another low body temperature here.
Yeah, they're very similar.
Yeah. So she's had knee surgery and fibroids, painful period and one miscarriage. When you're noting things like that, always note number of live births as well. So we know, does she just have some infertility issues, or is there, she's also had live?
She did. She doesn't have any children.
She doesn't have any children.
That's right.
So she just has dealt with this. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then painful periods, suffered from fibroids. Has she done anything with the fibroids, or she's just suffering with them?
Not much. Nothing was done.
Okay.
Now it's better because she doesn't have period anymore. She's 57.
Okay. Well, they do tend to get better when you stop the stimulation, but, does she have them monitored, like measured on a regular basis? Like the fibroids, they can get in there and kind of estimate the size, whether they're growing.
I don't know what was done when she was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't, yeah, we didn't go too deep on that.
Okay, so it's not a problem that she's not symptomatic from them at this
point. That's right, that's right.
Okay. okay, so she was on Armour and it caused heart palpitations. So to me, that says that it was over, right? Too much medication. And so the doctor had her stop.
Yeah, I think her naturopath doctor was always concerned about the risk. So I think that was the main reason he told her not to take it anymore.
Okay. But look at her HSCRP. It's 7.14. We want that under 1. I like it 0.2, right? Mm-hmm. ESR at 39. I'd like that to be 10 or less. I think normal is 20. Yeah. Leptin levels high at 22.2, reverse T3 at 23. Okay, so she's got some issues going on. Clearly, you know, an insulin resistance kind of thing. Is that, somebody else got their line open? Is somebody on? Because I don't know if it's you, Jenny, or.
It's not me.
Let me see who's
Let's on. See. Let's see, the Elaine is her, mine is Flanette.
Mute here. That's me. Oh, now that's me. Who's that? That might be.
Is my line on?
Okay. I think we're good. I found one that was on open. I see all these guys okay. These guys okay. That Lynette. Lynette, check to see if you're open. It doesn't even show me whether you're.
Yeah, I think maybe V Lane.
Nope, it's.
Am I on?
No, V-Lane. Okay, sorry.
Oh, there we go.
I'm going to mute you, V-Lane.
Shelby, let me turn it off.
Okay. All right, got her muted. Okay, much better. It's hard to hear when there's that kind of stuff in the background. So you're seeing this, right? We're sharing it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so her leptin's high, her high reverse T3, elevated, LDL, CRP, said rate. You don't mention, we'll look at the tracker to see what the rest of her thyroid numbers look like. Mm-hmm. As far as what she's exercising a little bit, getting out a little bit, doesn't meditate, drinks greens, that's a good one. Eating vegetables.
I told her to do it.
She's on the caffeine, eating out tap water. So she's mostly drinking purified water. And she's sleeping sometimes, not all the time. Okay, so let's look at her labs. Okay, is this the one? This looks like the one. All right, so glucose is in the normal range, but if we look at blood urea, nitrogen, and creatinine, oftentimes that's a malabsorption thing when they're low like that. So that's what I'm keeping in mind. Kidneys look good. Sodium looks good. Electrolytes.
I don't see the spreadsheet right now.
Oh, I've got to switch share.
Okay.
Thank you. New share. I wish I could easily switch back and forth, but I have to do this. Share screen. If I just share my whole screen, that what I've been told is everything looks tiny. And if I just share the window, it looks better. So how about
there you
now?
There you go.
All right. So we'll go back to the top. Glucose looks good. Uric acid is fine. Blood urea nitrogen here and creatinine being low, out of the optimal range, not out of the normal range, oftentimes is malabsorption. So I'm just keeping that in the back of my mind. These all look good. The electrolytes all look good. Protein looks good and albumin looks good, but her globulin looks high. Sometimes high globulin can be related to immune system, some kind of infection that the body's trying to fight off.
You know, that's the suspicion I always had because of her very high CRP level for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something that's causing her body to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about that, it could be a gut bug. It could be like Epstein-Barr, chronic Epstein-Barr type of thing. We'll look, let's see if she has the CBC and we'll see if we can differentiate that. Mm-hmm. She's a little bit low on her ALT and that's usually not flagged medically, but functionally it could be a B6 deficiency because those enzymes are B6 dependent.
Mm-hmm.
Where's her alkaline phosphatase?
Right there.
Whoops, I just passed it. There we go. And her alkaline phosphatase is good, which I don't see often when people are having these issues. Iron is low. Let's see.
Yeah, she's the case where she has very high ferritin, but low iron.
Low iron, yeah. So my guess is liver might be involved. She's got low HDLs. So when I'm looking at low HDLs, her totals are fine. But when I look at low HDLs, I'm thinking not enough exercise, fatty acids, omega-3 imbalance would be something to look at there.
Mm-hmm.
So thyroid 2.22, and this was on no medication at this point?
Yeah, she does not take medication.
No medication. So good TSH, good free T4, good free T3.
Mm-hmm.
But her reverse is high.
Yeah.
So we sometimes see high reverse T3 when the body's trying to put the brakes on the metabolism in order to deal with like a chronic infection. So yet another possible indicator of a chronic infection. We don't know what her total T4 is. So we don't know if her body's like producing a lot. I could see why she would get palpitations from taking thyroid medication, or that was the other person. I'm sorry. I'm confused now.
Well, for this person, she did actually tell me last week saying that at nighttime when she wakes up in the middle of the night, she has the heart fluttering.
Mm. Okay.
So I wonder if that's an indication of her heart, the cardiovascular issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a stress, you know, people who are very stressed are very.
She's not stressed. She's a very laid back person.
Yeah,
huh? So a few years ago when her mom was sick, yeah, she was very stressed. But she said right now.
It might be a physiologic stress, right? So chemical stress and internal stress. So white blood cells and red blood cells look good, but her hemoglobin is low. Not surprising because have fun. See you later. So B6 being low affects the conversion from iron, or not conversion, but the implementation of the iron into the hemoglobin molecule. So that can be an issue. So I would be definitely looking at B6 here. And also her iron was fairly low, right? What was it, 54?
Yeah.
So you're going to expect that to be there. Hematocrit's decent. MCV is decent. It's on the higher end, right at the upper end of the ideal. So we just keep in mind maybe some B12. Now her RDW is 13.4, so it's a little bit on the high side, so it just definitely indicates there's some sort of imbalance there, some sort of anemia going on. I wouldn't expect her MCV to be 92 with her iron at 54. I would expect her iron to be lower. So therefore, what I'm thinking is superimposed B12 folate deficiency with the iron, and the B12 folate is bringing it up higher. So if we got her iron fixed, that MCV might go much higher. If we got her B12 folate fixed, the iron, the MCV would go lower. So the ideal would be to get them both in the right range. But she's not, she's getting plenty of iron, but she's not, I mean, she's got plenty of ferritin, but she's not converting it back. So that just opens the door about, let's look at that mechanism again. Like, really look at what is required. I know melatonin is required in the other direction. What's required? Maybe it's B6 dependent, and B6 could be a big player in here.
Okay. So I have put her on B complex.
Mm-hmm.
So that contains a little bit of every B.
Yeah. But if she's got low intrinsic factor, which most people do, or low stomach acid, she's not going to really be able to utilize the B12 in there very well. So sublingual is better, or patch skin, or liposomal.
Yeah.
In a minute, I'm going to see the rest of this, and then I want to see if we can pull up anything on that conversion. So neutrophils are high, lymphocytes low, right? Right here, you see that? So I'm guessing there's some kind of bacterial thing. And based on all the stool tests I look at, it's a really good chance that she's got some sort of bacterial overgrowth. Does she get bloated and gassy when she eats food within a short period of time?
Not much. She said she doesn't have much digestive symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so she still could have a bug. And it's probably not SIBO, because usually people with SIBO, they feel it right away.
Mm-hmm.
They get that bloaty. So, but there's something going on, and it's probably an occult bacterial. There's also something that's either parasite or allergy, with the eosinophils being high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So maybe she should do a doctor's data test, the stool test.
It's not a bad idea, but given, give me a second, her diet, so lots of inflammation, very high. Mm-hmm. We talked about that before. I'm just looking down to see if there's anything else I missed. Oh, fasting insulin, 5.42, it's borderline, right? So there's definitely, I would be looking at her blood sugar and doing the things that we need to do to balance the blood sugar. So yeah, doing a doctor's data test, do we want to jump in and do that? Or, you know, looking at, is she on probiotics? Does she eat fermented food?
Not much. She doesn't.
I do the healing the gut. I do the heal the gut first. I do the basic gut hygiene type of stuff just to make sure. You know, you could do it if she's willing and she has the money and she doesn't mind it. But it's not something I usually jump right to. Mm-hmm. I'd rather look at what's going on with her gut and how can we heal it first and then see if there's something. You know, it's not like she is majorly symptomatic or that these numbers are way out of control.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's an infectious thing going on somewhere. Diet-wise, is she moving in the direction of anti-inflammatory diet?
Yeah, so we've been working together since last November. She totally got rid of gluten and dairy.
Great.
And she's been eating a lot of vegetables. So she's been on a grain-free diet. She doesn't even eat rice as much.
And is she feeling a difference?
Not much. That's another thing that's puzzling. Yeah, she doesn't feel much better.
So whenever somebody goes and does that, I'm thinking possible cross-reactivity.
Okay.
And dysbiosis in the gut. So, you know, maybe getting a stool test would be helpful if she's already done a lot of the habits.
Yeah.
You know, and I would look at that. But the ferritin's quite high for 54 in iron. So there's something there. I'm guessing liver.
Mm-hmm.
38 on the D. So how much supplementation of D is she doing?
Back then when that was tested, I don't think she was taking much. So right now she's taking 5,000 IU.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And way back when she had a cortisol test, which showed her to be very depleted.
Yes.
Yeah. And her leptin's high. And inflammation can cause high leptin as well. But the habits, you know, the spacing of the meals and all that. So make sure you're working on that.
I think I also submitted a test that she took I would say 2 years ago. So it's a urine and saliva test that, you know, it showed quite a bit of her just adrenal hormones and also neurotransmitters.
Right.
I posted the link on Facebook.
Okay.
Because I've never seen that lab. I have never heard of that laboratory before where she got that test done. I just know it's...
What was the name of it again? I remember seeing it.
Let me see. I think it's called
Neurosciences?
Let me just double check. Okay, so here. It's called NeuroLab. Yeah. The name of the company is Senesco. I don't know how to
pronounce it. Oh, Senesco. Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, so that's the test. It's their test.
Did she take action based on that test? Did somebody put her on?
Nothing. Somebody ordered it for her, but she didn't do anything.
Mm.
It showed that she was pretty much low in everything. Like all the neurotransmitters and all the adrenal hormones. So everything was low. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we go in and we think about this logically, right? You're working on her habits. You're working on her diet. You've got to get the vitamin D levels up. You can do a stool test to rule in or out the possibility of a gut problem because it needs to be addressed and it could be the underlying cause of this. But there's inflammation. It's like, what's the inflammation? So the anti-inflammatory diet, go into the alkaline, more alkaline versus acid, but and then the blood sugar, really address the blood sugar. Because with the fasting insulin at 5.2, that's too high. Fasting should be 3, right?
So she's not eating much sugar. Well, her diet was horrible before, but for the past 3 months, she has not been eating sugar.
Great. Well, take her through the process that we go through in the sweet spot. Make sure she's got some of those supplements under control, get the diet under control, the stress management, all that sort of stuff. And much sugar, who knows, that might be too much for her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So get her to do a test. Obviously, with the fasting insulin a little bit on the high side, she's overproducing insulin.
Mm-hmm.
And that so can lead to the insulin resistance.
Yeah. So that's what I think.
Yeah.
Well, she herself doesn't think so because she feels that her glucose is pretty good.
I don't see her hemoglobin A1C in there.
Actually, it's there. Let me,
what was it? I'm just looking
at it. It's in this file, maybe from a different.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see it in there. I may have skipped it.
A1C, oh my, let me see. I think I have it here.
So the first article I found on the high ferritin, low iron is related to inflammation. Not a cause of the inflammation, but as a result of the inflammation. So really it's getting to the heart of why, where's this inflammation coming from?
Right. So her A1C is 5.2.
Oh, that's pretty decent. It's a little higher than I'd like, but it's not terrible.
Right.
Well, maybe the stool test is looking more and more.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's got this gigantic waistline, so lots of...
And even though she's saying she's not stressed, I would do an adrenal test as well.
Okay.
Because I think that, you know, the stress could be from some infection, but it could be still that her adrenals are shot from the stress that she went through several years ago.
Okay. So the high ferritin level... Is that also associated with inflammation?
Inflammation, right.
Okay.
It's another inflammatory marker. So it's really a matter of the inflammation. So, you know, you can address the inflammation with the diet. You can address the inflammation. You said her diet was awful when you started with her.
Yeah.
She's doing a good diet for what, about 4 months now? Yeah. Or did it take her a while? So 4 months of a good diet and 57 years of a bad diet.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to take some time, but you haven't had that like, amazing something, right? Have you put her on proteolytic enzymes or ginger, turmeric, things like that to help with the inflammation?
Yes. Yeah, she takes curcumin supplements. She also uses turmeric in her diet. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm looking at this lab from 4 years ago. So her doctor back then ordered the stool test.
Okay.
So I don't know whether to use it because it's not a very recent test. It actually showed that she had heavy growth of Klebsiella.
Okay.
That was back then, so I don't know.
And what did she do to help get that under control?
Okay, so I'm looking at the, you know, somebody made the note on the lab result saying aloe vera juice, herbal aloe force. Maybe that's a supplement.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
That's not going to kill Klebsiella. What about her, on that stool test, look at her normal flora. What's her bifidus and her lacto?
Okay, so this is a very different test. It's from Diagnose Tech. That's the laboratory's name.
So here's what I would recommend here. Since she's got an old test and it had that, she didn't follow up with that, that's good reason right now to run another one.
Okay.
And let her know that it's really important, that I think some of this could be, it's been there, it was there ages ago, and I really want to see what we can do to get that under control.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, that sounds good.
No calorie,
no Jarda. So that was tested, but not the the bacteria stuff.
Okay. I mean, I usually like to do the Diagnostics test to just because if we're suspicious of H. pylori, I'd do BioHealth. But without the suspicion of H. pylori, you know, I would say the Diagnostics, because I love their sensitivities. And all the different regards they have. I find it better than Genova. Some people like Genova better. I guess it's going to be personal preference.
So how about Doctor's Data?
Doctor's Data, that's the one, not Diagnostic. That's the one I like.
Got it. Yeah.
Doctor's Data, yeah. Okay?
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's
you're
really
welcome.
Helpful.
Bye.
Yeah.
Okay. It's time to end. Does anybody have any last recommendations or ideas or questions before we close? I mean, I could do about 2 more minutes, but I do need to go on to my next call. Anybody? Is this helpful?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to pause the share, stop the share. So anybody else find that this was helpful to learn a bunch? Tony, hey. Helpful?
Always.
Good. Allison, yes. Did you have anything to add about the estradiol and the estriol? Did you agree, disagree?
It's really interesting what you were saying because, of course, I've been doing 2 days of locums again, and in the NHS, the very best I can do with bioidentical hormones is estradiol gel, and one single dose is available of progesterone. And very much found on, I've had patients already change back off this combination to the HRT with progestogens. And I've got a private patient as a result of that because she felt so crap when she switched to the HRT. So very interesting that you say that. And I sort of just think, you know, bias just isn't available unless you're seeing someone like me. And I'm seeing so much demand for my services from the GP patients I see.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got to create that leverage now, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool.
But yeah, bias would be better.
Much better, yeah. Thank you. As long as it's available. I mean, and you can go to Amazon and buy estriol. So if the doctor won't, you know, it's not as high a dose as if it's prescription, but you can get the creams. And I think Anna Kabeca has some of those, like in her Jolva, she sneaks some of that in there too. So, yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Happy birthday again.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to unmute everybody so we can say bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy
birthday, Dr. Rader and Maria.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great day. Well, bye. Oh, it's so good to see all your faces.
I guess I'm going to see you tomorrow, Rader Marie.
Yes, yeah. What are we doing? I have to make a presentation up, don't I?
Yeah. Well, yeah, slide, the food is medicine meetup.
Slide presentation? Do a slideshow or no? Should I bring?
Yeah, there's a TV monitor.
There's a TV monitor. We can just hook up my.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Yep. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. It's 7
All right,
o'clock.
See you tomorrow.
So it's a 7?
7. Yeah, you can get there a little bit early if you want to set up, but yeah. We usually mingle for the first like half hour anyway, so it's not okay. That big of a deal.
Perfect. Great. Bye.
All right. See you tomorrow. Bye.